Father, I thank you for this honor. I thank you for this privilege. I thank you, Lord, that you watched over and protected our pastor. I thank you, Father God, for all that Christ means to us all. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, for giving me the gift of teaching. Lord, I thank you. And I'm asking now the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon me as I bring your word this morning. And I ask Holy Spirit to anoint those to hear and receive this word that you have, Father God. And Father, we thank you. And we don't count lightly all the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Father God, we can thank you for all things, Lord God, even the body celestial and the body terrestrial. But Father God, we thank you for what you did when you sent your son here on this earth to be born of a virgin, Father God. Lord, that you made a way that ungodly, unholy man could be reconciled to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ. Not only his birth, which we will be looking at today, but the death, the burial, and the resurrection, which we put our hope in, Father God. So, Lord, we thank you. We ask now, breathe upon everything that's said here this morning, everything that is done, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, those who are sick and afflicted that can't be with us, we ask, Lord, for your healing power to be upon them in their spirit, their soul, their minds, and their bodies. Strengthen them, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, if you've been listening, last Wednesday I bring the message on John the Baptist, and I wanted to rerun that, though I had taught it a few weeks earlier. Because John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, they tie together so close. Because the miraculous birth of John the Baptist with Elizabeth, she was well beyond childbearing years. But with God, nothing is impossible. And now with Christ, the miraculous birth of Christ. So we're going to look at that. If I can find my Isaiah 7:14. I know you're familiar, most of you are familiar with that. But Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear you a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but God so named John the Baptist. He said his name will be called John. John named Jesus Christ. He says his name will be Jesus, which means God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that Prince of Peace, the last name, it's going to be, I don't think we can fathom or even grasp with our minds the peace that we will know when Christ is in reign, reigning from Jerusalem. Verse 7 of Isaiah 9, of the increase of his government and peace, that's Christ when he becomes king, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish him with the judgment and with justice from henceforth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. So there's not going to be any end to his kingdom. We're part of his kingdom right now. Though we haven't joined together with him physically, one day we will. One day we will. Let's look now at the Annunciation to Mary about the coming of the Lord. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now why does he say in the sixth month? Because now it's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Remember the angel Gabriel stood by Zacharias at the altar of the incense and announced the birth that was coming of John the Baptist? Now that same angel Gabriel, 6 months later, is now visiting Mary. God has sent him into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So Joseph was from the house of David, the lineage of David. So was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast her mind into what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Can you imagine that? little old poor girl in the town of Nazareth, and God sends this angel to her, Gabriel, and announces to her, and he says, "Fear not, because you found favor with God." Well, you found favor with God. We've all found favor with God. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I've not known a man?" And the angel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Can you imagine that? You know, it's one thing that the angel visited Zachariah and Elizabeth becomes pregnant well beyond childbearing years. And now we see that same angel visiting this young virgin who's never been with them and tells her, "The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you're going to be with child." That was God, the Holy Spirit, hovering over her matrix, and she become with child. Miraculous, you know. Now, what kind of problems do you think that may bring about within the community or the one that's going to be her husband? We'll talk about that. Now, before we find that Mary is going to go visit with her cousin Elizabeth, let's look into Matthew. Let's stop there. Put that on pause for a minute. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'm trying to put it in order the way things happen here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Come on, man. Starting with verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," meaning she's been spoken for, the thing is already set, Mary is going to marry Joseph. It's already been spoken for as if they were married, but they haven't gone through the ceremonial rites. "So Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Let's look at this. How would you feel, Freddie, if your spouse-to-be, before you ever were married and you were going to get married, all of a sudden Alita comes to you and say, "Freddie, I've got something to tell you. You ain't going to believe this." and she says, "I'm with child." What are you going to think, Freddie? Whose is it? Do you think there's enough words in the vocabulary that Alita could tell you to convince you that she hasn't been with a man? And same would happen with any of us, wouldn't it? It would take an act of God to change my mind or your mind. And it was an act of God. So, verse 20. Anyway, Joseph was in mind to put her away. You know, "You've disgraced me. You've disgraced me." You know, the whole town is going to know what's going on. And what, you know. So he's going to put her away. Put her away privately. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if men have her put away forever or just get out of my sight and don't ever come back. But anyway, he's going to put her away privately. But, verse 20, "But while he thought on these things," and can you imagine? You're going to be pondering. All this stuff is going to be going on in your head. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this situation? You know, if I do this, what will happen that? Or hitting it from every angle. And he's thinking about all this stuff. "How could she betray me like that?" You know. "So behold," verse 20, "but as he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled with that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." So, you you can see how this plays out and how it would take an act of God to change a man's mind after something like that would happen. But the angel told him, hey, it's been prophesied way back when, and you're seeing the prophecy come true today in your wife, born of a virgin. So he rest assured him, or assured him, it's okay, take her to be your wife, because this is of God, not of any man. So then Joseph, verse 24, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, let's pick back up with Mary now. She's going to go, and I'm sure after she had talked to her husband, and he said, it's okay, I'm going to take you as wife, and because of what the angel had told him. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin, Elizabeth, she is also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. And verse 39. And Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Some say this hill country was Hebron. I don't know if I can agree with that or not, because from where the hill country is, the researches that I found and stuff, there's a hill country, the town is called Ain Karim. That's the traditional site where John the Baptist was born at. That's where all the family relatives are. It's the spot where they built the church for St. John the Baptist stands today, and the church was built at this site in A.D. 5. So the other thing is the Hebron, that would have worked out. This is before, during Solomon's temple, okay? But now you got to understand, Solomon's temple has been destroyed. The people has been dispersed all the way down into Babylon. And the only ones left there are the poor people left to tend the crops and the fields and work the fields and all of that. And then it wasn't until Nehemiah starts rebuilding the walls and the temple that the people started coming back. And in later years, King Herod, rebuilt the temple, and that was called Herod's Temple. So now the people have been dispersed. Some of them were now living in Jerusalem, and some of them were living in the country scattered throughout all over the country, closer to Jerusalem. So that's why I say the people had been dispersed, and it's the hill country was probably right there where we talked about it, Ain Karim, which is called today, of where Mary visited her cousin. So Mary, verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judea. This would have taken 9 days traveling that way. It's 80 miles from Nazareth to this Ain Karim. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost at that time. I'm not going to go into that any farther. We've been through that well enough. Luke 1:56. And Mary abode with her, in other words, stayed with her for about 3 months and then returned to her house. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth, no doubt to help her out. And now, for 3 months, so Mary is now 3 months pregnant, and she's no doubt helping out Elizabeth, and probably, I can't prove this, but probably stayed there until the birth of John the Baptist. Verse 57. I'm sorry, 57 talks about where Elizabeth's time has come to be now. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made by Cyrenius, of the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. Some interesting facts about that, this town of Bethlehem. The town of Bethlehem is where King David, was from. He was from Bethlehem. That's why it's called the city of David, also the house of bread. So David grew up there as a shepherd boy. And no doubt while he was as a shepherd boy, he started honing his skills, learning to play the harp, because there's at times as a shepherd boy, there's not much to do, okay? Watch the sheep, keep them in line. And then he learned the harp, he learned how to throw a sling, and he grew to love the Lord. Other places of interest there was Rachel's tomb. Remember Jacob and Rachel? They were coming back, and she died giving birth to Benjamin. The church of the Nativity is there. The shepherd's fields are there. Grain fields are there. Hillsides for livestock are there. There's a deep ravine there, possibly where David, when he wrote Psalms 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it's possible he could got the idea from that right there, because there is a very deep ravine there. But regardless, this place of Bethlehem has significance, even though it's a small thing. Remember Ruth? She was from there, working in around there. There's even more, but I'm not going to take time to go into it. But it wasn't the spring that had some great water there. You remember when David was in battle, and he said, "Oh, if I could just have a drink of that well from Bethlehem." And then his prize fighters went out in the night throughout all of the enemy and got him the water and come back and risked their lives just to satisfy their king. And he said, "I can't drink this. Not now that, you know, you've put your life in danger for me." He said, "No, as much as I'd love it, but I'm not going to drink it." Verse 4 of chapter 2 of Luke. "And Joseph also went to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of that lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and being great with child. And so it was," verse 6, "that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." This swaddling clothes, they are like strips of garment that's been ripped up, and they wrap the baby with these strips of garments of swaddling clothes. A lot of it was custom. They'd wrap up their arms and stuff so they couldn't get their arms and fingernails up to scratch their skin or their eyes. And they put him in the manger, laid him in the manger. And there were in the fields, just outside of Bethlehem, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And these flock, they were probably a temple flock that they used when they would have the Great Day of Atonement, the festivals at Jerusalem. They would need animals to purchase to do sacrifices. So this is where a lot of them were raised, and they would sell them to people who needed them because they were without spot nor blemish. And lo, verse 9, "the angel," notice singular, "the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were so afraid." Get the picture. One angel comes upon these shepherds out there in the hill of Bethlehem, watching over their flock, and such a great light shone down upon them. And so put some human flesh to this. If you were out there, not counting in the days that you know of that we're living in today, but back there, and there's nothing but stars that you can see at night, there's no lights from the cities or nothing, and then all of a sudden this humongous light shines down upon you, would you be scared? Yeah, it would scare you bad, wouldn't it? It would me, and I'm fearless. No. Yeah, right. So, this angel, verse 10, "and the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Not just you, not just those, but all people forever and ever and ever. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ, the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you," to these shepherds. "You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Say that with me. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So this host of heavenly body there, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." Verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. So they got the word, didn't they? They got the word. And the angel, messenger, brung them the word. So they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them about the shepherd. So you have a picture painted here. The message is about Christ. The angels brought the message. Then the shepherds get up and they go and look. And then they tell others. It's almost like our charter, isn't it? We've been told about the Lord Jesus Christ. We believed. And now we tell others about these same pictures painted here. Verse 18. And when they all... And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you think how Mary must, strange things happen? Here, I know I wasn't with a man. The angel of God come to told me I'm favored by God. And now, here's the results of that. This baby born, and he's a king. And she said, probably thought, how can he be a king? We don't have nothing. We have nothing. We didn't even have a place to lay the kid up other than here in this manger. But he's supposed to be, and I will be remembered throughout all of eternity. Wow. So she's pondering these things kept them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. Turn to Leviticus chapter 12. In preparation for what we're fixing to read, Leviticus chapter 12. I'll read the whole chapter. It's only 8 verses. Leviticus chapter 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived seed and born a man-child, that's what Mary did, isn't it? She conceived and born a man-child, and then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. Verse 3. And in the 8th day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. 33 days. She shall not touch a hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of purification be fulfilled. That touching a hallowed thing, that's what's been made holy. She can't be around it or touch it because she is unclean. But, 5, if she bear a maid child, a female, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. That would be 66 days. Why the difference? I don't know. I really don't know. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Wait a minute. I thought there were those said Mary was without sin. If she is, then why is she going to have to bring a sin offering? We'll see that later on. But unto the door, and they'll bring it to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest. Verse 7. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female. Verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and one for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and then she shall be clean. So never let somebody say Mary was without sin. And we're going to find out as we get on into this, because if she was without sin, then why would she have to offer a sin offering? All right. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named after the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And in the days, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, which we just read, okay, you with me? They were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem. They're bringing him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consultation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Verse 27, and he came by Spirit, in other words, the Spirit led him to the temple, into the temple. Now Mary is in the temple with Joseph, with the Christ child, offering him to the Lord. She couldn't do that until her days of purification was done, which was 33 days. You with me? And he came by Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, Simeon did, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So this child is going to be a light shining in the darkness, not only to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. And Joseph and his mother marveled at all of these things that were spoken of him. What are these that this man is speaking over our child? They marveled at it. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary and his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there, so he prophesied this, and he said, this child is set for a great fall. It's going to be like a sword pierced through your own soul. And that happened when they crucified her son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, Anna meaning favor or grace. She was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, she married her husband, a virgin, and was able to live with her husband for 7 years, and the husband died. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 91 years from the time of her marriage. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's go back now to Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem. Remember I did a lesson concerning the Magi, the wise men? Well, here they are. I don't know what time they saw the star in the east, but they saw the star. So they started coming. I don't know how long it took them to make that trip from down around in Babylon, Persia, on up into Jerusalem. But they saw the star, they followed it, saying, verse 2, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled at all, and all Jerusalem with him. The reason all Jerusalem was troubled with him, if the king is not happy, then ain't nobody going to be happy. No one will be happy. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea. For thus is written by the prophet. Prophet Micah told us about that. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou least among the princes of Judah? And out of thee shall come as a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called these wise men in, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So he's investigating. He wants to know, when did you see this star? You know, and he's basically going to tell them, I want to go and worship this king. No, he's lying. That's not what he wants to do, which we'll find out later. So these wise men, pictures, postcards, paint three wise men, okay? They also paint the wise men at the birth of Christ right there. They weren't there. And it doesn't say there was three. Does say they issued three gifts, But hey, they could have been six wise men. We know they traveled in caravans, so we don't know for sure how many. There's been lots of speculation on just how many were coming, but it really is not important. So when Herod privately called his wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard that the king had departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over the young child. Now, a lot of people saying, well, that was a convergence of all of these stars in this. I say, this is me. There was a star that God used, and he pinpointed exactly where they wanted to go. And when it went over the house of Bethlehem, right there where Jesus was. That's my purview. And, you know, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. So when they went out, they saw this star, and they started following the star till it stopped right over the top of that house of where Jesus was. Verse 8 again, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word back again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. So no doubt they come out and they saw that star again and they started rejoicing. It's possible that the star had disappeared at that time and then come back. Now, these wise men, understand, they did not visit him in the manger. It was later. We know it was 33 days later for sure, after purification, after he took them to the temple and they went in and offered Jesus up to the Lord. So here they come, and now they're visiting in the house. So at some time after the birth of Christ, they moved into a house. Maybe some relatives around that offered up a place to stay. Maybe they had planned on staying there for a goodly time. Who knows? But we know that these wise men now are coming. Verse 11 of Matthew 2. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child, not an infant, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let me ask you this question. Mary and Joseph, they offered up for the offering, the burnt offering, and the sin offering, turtle doves. What's that tell you? They were poor. I think had the wise men visited prior to that, then they would have money. They could have at least bought the lamb that was required. That's why I say the wise men was after the dedication. And you may say, well, why did they give them all this? Well, they were poor. They're fixing to get the word, get up now and get to Egypt. Now they got some money. They got something worth something they can use to make the trip to and fro. Verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we know that these are expensive gifts. This is not something after the thought. These wise men had prepared this for a king. These are gifts fit for a king. And I dare say there wasn't a small amount of gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive. And verse 12, being warned of God in a dream, this is the wise men, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In other words, they didn't go back trucking up through Jerusalem. Verse 13, and when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, said, arise, take up the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So right after these wise men left, Joseph was asleep. The angel woke him up, said, get up, get up. Get Mary, get the child, flee to Egypt, because Herod is going to kill the child. He's going to try and kill the children. Verse 14, and when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, right then, and departed to Egypt. He didn't hesitate, didn't ask why, just got up and obeyed. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and he sent forth and slew all the children, it's all the male children, that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts and all all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to which time he had diligently inquired the wise men when they had seen the star. And this fulfills the prophet that which was spoken of Jeremy, the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So look at the picture here. And as I was studying this, I said, wonder what Zacharias and Elizabeth did with John the Baptist. He was there in the area. And he was, 6 months older than Jesus. So no doubt God spoke to them in some way to get him out or hide him somewhere until it was done. Because he was in danger also. But the Bible doesn't speak to that, but it had to be. Verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared into a dream unto Joseph in Egypt and said, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. I imagine by this time now Joseph is learning when the Lord is speaking to him in a dream, isn't he? He did. That's three times already. Three times. So he's saying, okay, it's okay now. Go back. Go back. So he rose with the child, young child, took his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God again in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene. And there is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the miraculous happenings that were surrounding his birth along with John the Baptist. And it's important, I think, always remember what we call the birth of Christ, or you may call it a Christmas story, especially during this time of season when the pagans celebrate their holiday, but also we celebrate the birth of Christ. And you don't have to mix and mingle with the pagan. Always Christ-centered. Teach your children. It made me proud. I know these little rascals that I try to steer. The other day, guy said, what's Christmas mean to you? And they both said, the birth of Jesus Christ. I said, thank you, Lord. Because if it wasn't for whatever we are, there are great-great-grandnieces. But it's why it's important to invest your life in something more than yourself, because they would never known who Christ was or the Christ story. And all of the stuff that we have to put up with them, hey, what is that to me? Amen. This life will soon be gone. You can leave them. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father God, that your word is here, then we can go back to your word, Father, and look at it. Because, Lord, I feel like there's coming a time that truth can no longer be discerned. But we know where truth lies, Father. It lies in your word. So as long as we have your word, Father God, we have the truth. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for God, for your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can go back and we can look in your word and look at the miraculous things that you did, Father God, to preserve the life of your Son, preserve the life of John the Baptist, Father God, and to preserve the life of us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day that we are soon to celebrate your birth of your Son, Lord Jesus. And Father, may we remember this holiday season to lift you up, Father God. Lift the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for the many blessings, Father God, that we've been able to have in our life because of the nation that we live in. And Father God, that we can freely worship you at this time. So Father, take this word, take this message, Lord, that others may be blessed from it. Bless every person here, Father God, in such a special way, Lord, that only you know what their needs are. You know, Father God, the desires. And Father, just bless them. Bless the Challenge Ministries congregation, those who are listening by the airways, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, special blessings upon Pastor Bob and Sister Sharon. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you.